Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret is Prayer podcast. And we're going to continue our study on Isaiah. Loren, ready?
Thank you, Jesus, for letting us be here today, for letting us gather to study your word. Open our minds and give us understanding so that we can use your word in our everyday life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we're on Isaiah 6. So there's a lot here. We're going to try and cover 6, 7, and 8. So Isaiah's call and mission. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above him. They each had 6 wings, with two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another, "Holy, holy is the Lord of armies. His glory fills the whole earth." So here we see where the King Uzziah has died. And the King Uzziah, he had reigned for a long time, for 52 years. And he was a good God. He sought God. It says in the lifetime as Zechariah, and I think we talked about that before. So he had Zechariah as his spiritual friend, guide. Right? Leader, guide, yes. So we see over and over where the people did good when they had a spiritual guide, but then once they lost that guide, they would, you know, no longer do good. So the King Uzziah was doing good, but then he got, after Zechariah's death, he, because it said in the lifetime of Zechariah, so we assume that after he died, he didn't do good anymore, and his pride took over, and he died of leprosy. And because he's the king that goes, he gets impatient and he goes to the temple and he lights the incense himself when, you know, back then you weren't able, only the priests could go in and do that. And he thought, you know, he was a king and almighty and that he could go in there and do that. And because of that, God gave him leprosy and he died of that. So after he, and it was that death that, you know, Isaiah's call and mission, it's after that death that Isaiah's call and mission begins. So here, you know, he gets he's now seeing a vision of the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne. And then, but, you know, were you going to say something about?
Well, I was going to say about the king. He got, yet God gave him leprosy, but didn't he like repent and then God gave him a few years more? Or is that a different king?
I think that's a different king. I don't
okay,
think
that so was he this never king. Repented. Okay.
I don't know. No, because okay. He didn't die
right away.
From what I read, it wasn't a good death. You know, right. Like he.
Right. Okay. Okay.
But, you know, it shows us here how one king has died, but then here God shows up, you know. The Lord is seated on a high and lofty throne, like Jesus is still on his throne. You know, God is still on his throne. So Isaiah might be grieving, you know, the king, the loss of that king, and not knowing what's going to happen. But then God shows up on his throne, you know, and I think that's some comfort that we can also take here as we see things moving around and shifting in chaos and all that, that God is always on his throne, no matter what happens here on earth. And right. he sees the angels, right? The seraphim, and they're praising him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. And again, the Lord of armies, we're not talking about little grandpa. So we're talking about a mighty king here and his army, the greatest army. So that's the beginning of the intro of the vision, right? So the foundations of the doorways shook at the sound of their voices, and the temple was filled with smoke. So the voices of all the seraphim you know, the weight that they carry, like it was so mighty that it shook the doorways, you know? Mm-hmm. So you can imagine what that was like, you know?
Right.
And
well, I was thinking just the vision of the Lord on his throne. Like, yes. I underlined it.
And the hem of his robe, right? The hem of his robe, like yeah. I can't imagine.
Like, if I could touch a thread, can you imagine? I keep thinking about that woman who bled for 12 years. I just need to touch this thread.
Can almost reach it. Yeah. But so, and then, you know, that it was filled with smoke. And then I just finished reading Exodus. So that kind of reminded me of that, how, you know, when the people, mm-hmm. When they left Egypt, how the smoke, the cloud of smoke was always over them. And that was God right. guiding them. So here we see that the temple was filled with smoke. So, okay. Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips. And live among a people of unclean lips. And because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies. So here, Isaiah is saying, woe is me, for I am ruined. But that's a good thing, because in the presence of God, he's now seeing his sinfulness.
Right.
You know, and his uncleanness. He's seeing now his sins. Because right. he's in the presence of the Lord there now. So well, he's almost seen,
coming undone too.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's exactly it. Yeah. Yep. And I was like, that's us, right? That's how we were right. when, as we start to see our own sinful ways, the closer we get to God, then the more sinful we're able to see that. Yes.
Right.
And so, and he says, oh, then the one of the seraphim flew to me, and his hand was a glowing coil that he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, now that this has touched your lips, your iniquity is removed and your sin atoned for. So here, you know, so here we see now Isaiah is, you know, he meets God.
Mm-hmm.
He sees his sins. And now his sins are being removed with the coil, with the fire, right? Because the coil represents right. like the fire, and his sins are being removed with the fire. And again, we can see how, you know, we talk about that over and over about coming to God and repenting and being cleansed of our sins. And that's what we're seeing here. So then, and then Isaiah says, then I heard the voice of the Lord asking, who will I send? Who will go for us? So here we see the Trinity, you know, who will go yeah. for us?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Isaiah says, I said, here I am, send me. So how many of us are ready to say, here I am, send me?
That's true. I mean, because you think about, like, Moses was like, no, no, no. Yeah. Right? No, I can't go alone. That would be me. Like, I need somebody.
I can't go by myself. Sure?
But Isaiah was. He stood right away. And I think he was definitely ready to go. Yeah.
Yep. And he says, here I am, send me. Mm-hmm. And he replied. So God replies, go, say to these people. And I don't think I ever paid attention to the go, you know, where he says go. Right. So he says, right. go say to these people. But look at what had to happen before the go.
Right.
You know, he had to be cleansed. Yeah.
Right.
He had to be cleansed before he said go. And the Lord tells him, say to these people, keep listening, but do not understand. Keep looking, but do not perceive. Make the minds of these people dull. Deafen their ears and blind their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their minds, turn back and be healed. So here, God is, this is the message, right? This is the message, right. And Isaiah is the messenger. So, and we see now that before he could go, that for one, he had to be in the presence of God. You know, mm-hmm. he had to, now he knows God. He saw God, you know, he's in the, he was in the presence of God.
Right.
And that he saw his own sin. He had to be cleansed of his own sin. And he saw the need of the people. He said, send me. And now right. here, now we have the Lord telling him here, go, you know, giving
and
him
that's
the,
almost
go
like
ahead.
Paul, right. Because, you know, Paul, everything that he did wrong, he was very sinful. And if you think about it, when Jesus called him, you know, he blinded him, but he had to cleanse him too before mm-hmm. he can go. So,
right.
So that part right there, like when I first read it, well, reread it, you know, earlier today, that's what popped into my mind. It was like Paul, how he was and how we were. Like we needed to be cleansed. We need to understand right. the word before we share it, right? Because, I mean, if we don't know what we're talking
about. And we saw that with the disciples too, right? When we read down with the disciples, how they mm-hmm. had to go through, you know, Jesus had to walk them through that piece too. And here we see what God is doing it with Isaiah.
Right.
But you know what, like with Mary, maybe that's why they say that she was sinless, because she didn't have to be cleansed before. She said yes, but she didn't have to be, or at least there's nothing on there about that.
Well, maybe when she said yes, because, you know, the angel says she found favor with God. Maybe when she said a yes, you know, to let God do as he want, you know, his will, maybe in a way that was a kind of a cleanse before the Holy Spirit can be incarnate. You know, because Jesus is holy, you know, maybe. And to be in a human woman.
Well, and maybe because she didn't have to go out and do
anything.
Or
maybe because she didn't have to have the actual act of
doing sex. Something. I mean, she did do something. She gave birth, but like,
yeah,
she wasn't.
Well, and she was, remember, she was still young and she was a virgin. Yeah. So, you know, I think maybe because of her age too,
virgin,
like she was, being a virgin, pure. Like she was still pure in that
innocent.
Way.
In that sense. Innocent, very good. Yeah. So she was clean in that way.
Good one. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. So then I said, until when, Lord? And he replied, that right there, you know, until when, Lord? I was like, oh yeah, that's me. How much longer? That's already doesn't sound good. You know, like, well, how much longer? Like, how long do I have to do this? You know, when it's good, we don't ask that. So right there, I was like, well, and because if, you know, look at the message, you know, like he already knows that he's going against, you know, rebellious people who have rejected them. And he's no longer going with that kind, nice, you know, message that, because we read it, you know, how we've already read in the earlier chapters where God's like, that's it, I had enough, you know,
right?
Like, I'm not, no more compassion for you guys. Like, now the message that's being delivered is more, it's firm, and it's like, right. either you come or you don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So Isaiah sees that already, and then and the Lord responds, until cities lie in ruins without inhabitants, houses are without people, the land is ruined and desolate, and the Lord drives the people far away, leaving great emptiness in the land. Though a tent will remain in the land, it will be burned again. So many they're not going to return to the Lord. They're going to take off, you know, they don't want to hear it, but some will remain. But then here it tells us they will be burned again. So even though they remain, doesn't save them from judgment. They're still going to be judged.
And it only says a tenth. Mm-hmm. So depending how many people that is.
It wasn't many.
Yeah. I mean, you think a tenth, that's nothing.
Right. So like the terebinth or the oak that leaves a stump when felled, the holy seed is the stump. So he ends it with the hope of restoration, right? Like there's a stump still.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the verses that Jesus quotes from Isaiah in John 12. Because, like, you know, when we watch Chosen, he quotes a lot of the
Which one did he quote?
It was
John 12.
John 12, it's where, because where he talks about, he says, these things, Jesus says, these things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Because he's talking about Jesus, because Jesus is the one on the throne, right? He's the king. So he's talking about Jesus when Isaiah, when he says the Lord, where he saw the Lord sitting on the throne.
And that's what's going to ask you. Did we already clarify that? Like when it's the Lord of armies, that's Jesus. And when we say the Lord God of armies, is that the Father? Or does it?
I don't know. I don't know. It depends. I would have to read the whole thing because it.
Sorry.
I know it does get confusing.
I just thought of that because you said, you know, that's Jesus on the throne.
We're going to have to keep a list.
So many different distinguishes. So I just wonder because, yeah, we do see the Lord of armies, but then we see Lord God of armies, just like the angel.
Well, because I remember in the end, Jesus is God, right? So I think it's when I think of the throne, like Jesus on the throne, and then with the army and all that, I always think of Jesus. You know, when it's the smoke, when it's the light, when it's all of that, it's God. Or the Father is God. Okay. Yeah, that's how I.
Right, see because it. God is spirit, right?
Right, right, okay. And we can't see God, right? No one see God. Nobody so I think when it's him. Yeah.
Okay.
So okay, so this took place during. Oh wait. So then we're on chapter 7 now, and it's the message to Ahaz. So the next king of Judah is Ahaz, but he's a wicked king. He's a wicked king, one of the worst kings, who has now become king. This took place during the reign of Ahaz, son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah. Aram's king, Rezin, and Israel's king, Pekah, son of Remaliah, went to fight against Jerusalem, but they were not able to conquer it. So while Ahaz is king, because remember they split, right? You had northern Israel and southern Israel. And in the north, you had the 10 tribes. In the south, you only had the two, Judah and the Levites.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Ahaz is in the south, in Judah. And so in the north, you have the king of Ephraim. Now he's joining up with Samaria to try and conquer Jerusalem. So when it became known to the house of David that Aram had occupied Ephraim, so Aram was now in North Israel, the heart of Ahaz and the hearts of his people trembled like trees of a forest shaking in the wind. So now Judah's all scared because you have these two coming together to come against them, right? So, but then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out with your son Shear-Jashub to meet Ahaz. And Isaiah's son Shear-Jashub, his name means remnant shall come. So like restoration shall come, right? Like hope. So he tells, because that's going to come into play later. So he tells Isaiah, go with your son to meet Ahaz at the end of the conduit of the upper pool by the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, calm down and be quiet. Don't be afraid or cowardly because of these two smoldering sticks. So Ahaz is in a panic, right? He must be in a panic because God's like, go and tell him to calm down, be quiet. Don't be afraid or cowardly, you know, because of these two sticks, because of these two guys coming together. So Ahaz must have been in a panic. And that kind of goes to show where his faith is. Because if you compare him to David, remember in the beginning, David fought, you know, and he fought many wars, you know, where he beat, you know, with the stones and then, you know, somewhere with when he had a little bit of people. And then even in the end, when he had a huge army, you know, but, compared to this guy, he's running scared, like in a panic, like, oh, no, you know, they're coming.
Right.
So God sends Isaiah to tell him to calm down, be quiet. Don't be afraid. For the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and the son of Remaliah. For Aram, along with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah, has plotted harm against you. They say, let's go up against Judah, terrorize it, and conquer it for ourselves. Then we can install Tabeel's son as king in it. So they want to take over Judah and put their own, another king in there, put the Tabeel's son, I don't know who that is, as king in it. Mm-hmm. But you know that what this made me think of? The house of Judah. When you know, because the house of Judah, God's protecting it, right? Because that's his, right? That belongs right. To mm-hmm. him. Israel belongs to him. That's kind of like our families, you know? And now you mm-hmm. have here, these two joining together over here. They're coming, they're trying to come and conquer Judah. Mm-hmm. And God's saying, wait a minute, calm down. Don't be afraid. You know, like have, stand up, you know, have faith and don't be cowardly. Because look at what God tells them. It will not happen. It will not occur. Like, hey, this ain't going to happen. You know, mm-hmm. you're mine. This is my house. That ain't going to happen. So, and this is with Judah's already in, they're already in a bad spot, right? Because they're sinners already. And God's already telling them, hey, y'all better get it together. You mm-hmm. know, I'm coming. I'm done with y'all. And even still, God is saying, I'm going to protect you, you know? But he's telling Ahaz, you better show, you need to show your faith. You know, where's your faith?
Right. So well, like you said, David, I mean, Saul was trying to get him to put
all that armor, remember?
All that armor. He's like, what is this? I have God behind me. That's my armor.
Exactly. Good point. Yep. And the same thing is with us in our house. You know, if your house serves the Lord and here you have an enemy coming to conquer, you know, trying to conquer you. And God is saying here, like, hey, that ain't going to happen. This is my, you know, this belongs to me. This is my house. That ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. You know, to have faith in that and trust in that and not be like this King Ahaz, you know, freaking out and panicking, not knowing what he has standing behind him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So God says it will not happen. It will not occur. The chief of the city of Aram is Damascus. The chief of Damascus is risen. And then it says, with 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The chief city of Ephraim is Samaria, and the chief of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. So what I thought here is that God is saying, I know who these people are. I know who it is. It's the chief city of Aram. And it's the chief of Damascus and Rezin. I know who's coming. I know who's trying to come after you. He's showing that he's mm-hmm. in control. Like, I know who these people are. But they're going to be, you know, and sooner or later, they're going to be shattered. He's saying here, within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered. So God's telling, you know, and I was just like, man, that is so good, you know, like to remember that. Like he's saying, don't ever think that God's not in control, that he's not seeing what's happening, you know?
He sees everything in the light or the dark.
Yep. And he tells Ahaz, if you do not stand firm in your faith, then you will not stand at all. So, you know, 100%. And that goes for us too. If you don't stand firm in your faith, then you're not going to stand and you will be shattered too.
I love that verse.
Okay. So, the Emmanuel prophecy. Then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz. Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. It can be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. So Ahaz is in a panic, right? Because they're coming after him. He's in a panic. So here God stretches his hand out and he tells him, you know, like, trust me, ask me for a sign. Like he knows. And, you know, that just goes to show that God knows our emotions. He knows that we're scared. He knows we're just human, you know, and he knows, he understands where we're coming from, you know, and he's like, ask me for a sign, ask, you know, for that affirmation to help you stand firm. Ask me for a sign. But Ahaz says, I will not ask, I will not test the Lord. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't understand what's happening. And that just goes to show where he is spiritually and where his heart is. You know, he's not seeing that God's, you know, stretching his hand out here, and he might think it's a trap. I don't know, but he's lost in his panic and anger, and he's like, I will not ask for a sign.
Right. You know, that's how I was raised. My mom would like, don't question God. We can't question him. So it's like,
right. There's a difference when your heart's in the right place, you know. I it's like when you ask God, like when you're, he knows that you're trying, right, but you're not sure, you know, and he's giving you that affirmation, like, hey, I'm here,
right,
you know, and he does give us those little signs, you know, he does when we ask for him, when we're worried, or where are you, right. God, I haven't heard from you, where are you, and he'll give us, you know, a sign that, hey, I'm here, you know, right. and we see that now. But here Ahaz doesn't want to ask for the sign. And he might be angry too. Like, you know, if there was a God, I wouldn't be going through none of this, you know? So he's just not in the right place spiritually.
Right.
To ask for the sign or accept the sign. So Isaiah said, listen, house of David, is it not enough for you to try the patience of men? Will you also try the patience of my God? You know, Isaiah's like, you better remember who you're talking to, you know?
Right. Yep.
Exactly. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. So even still, God gives them a sign. He tells them, see, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. By the time he learns to reject what is bad and choose what is good, he will be eating curds and honey. For before the boy knows to reject what is bad and choose what is good, the land of the two kings you dread will be abandoned. The Lord will bring on you, your people, and your father's house such a time as has never been since Ephraim separated from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. So in this prophecy, we see two things. We see what's going to happen in this time and what's going to happen in the future. Mm-hmm. And I think we see that too in a lot of times when we read scripture, like it could, you know, he could be talking to us something that's going to happen right then and there, and also something that's going to happen, you know, right, later. So, because here he's not only talking to the house of David, to all the people of Israel, he's talking to Ahaz, and he's telling him, see, he's giving him a time frame. The virgin will conceive and have a son and name him Emmanuel. By the time he learns to reject what is bad and choose what is good, he will be eating curds and honey. So he's giving him, like, you know, a couple of years. Within a couple of years, you're going to see this. But right, then it's also a prophecy for the house of Israel that the virgin will conceive and have a son, Jesus, and his name will be Emmanuel. So that he's talking. Good. Yeah. So there's two prophecies there.
Right.
So then on that day, the Lord will whistle to flies at the furthest streams of the Nile and to bees in the land of Assyria. All of them will come and settle in the steep ravines in the clefts of the rocks. So he's telling them, those kings that are coming after you, there will be no more, you know, but that he's still bringing the king of Assyria. So remember, Israel joined with Assyria to try and conquer Jerusalem. Well, now Assyria, that's not going to happen, right? God said that's not going to happen. They're not going to conquer Jerusalem. But then Assyria comes and takes over Israel. So his own buddy comes and takes over, right, Israel. So all of them will come and settle in the steep ravines, in the clefts of the rocks, in all the thorn bushes, and in all the water holes. On that day, the Lord will use a razor hired from beyond the Euphrates River, the king of Assyria, to shave the hair on your heads and the hair on your legs and even your beards. On that day, a man will raise a young cow and two sheep, and from the abundant milk they give, he will eat curds. So things are going to go really, really bad. Every place where there was 1,000 vines worth 1,000 pieces of silver will become thorns and briars. So things are going to get really bad, like a time like they hadn't seen before. And it's not only going to be Assyria, it's also going to be invaded by Egypt. So they would be crushed between Egypt and Assyria. So then Isaiah 8. So then the Lord says to Isaiah, take a large piece of parchment and write it on it with an ordinary pen. So he told him to take out a scroll and to start writing this down, because this is what he's going to, the message, this is going to be the message to the public. Mahir Shalah Hashbaz, that's Isaiah's other son. I have appointed trustworthy witnesses, the priest Uriah and Zechariah, son of Jeberechiah. I'm sure I'm saying that all wrong. I was then intimate with the prophetess, and she conceived and gave birth to a son. The Lord said to me, name him Mahir Shalah Hashbaz. For before the boy knows how to call father or mother, the wealth of Damascus and the spoils of Samaria will be carried off to the king of Assyria. So here, again, in this prophecy, he's giving a time frame, right? Because by the time the boy knows how to call father and mother, so a couple years, the wealth of Damascus and the spoils of Samaria would be carried off to the king of Assyria. So he's talking about the invasion of Assyria that will punish Israel and Syria. And then the Lord spoke to Isaiah again, because these people rejected the slowly flowing water of Shiloh and rejected with Rezin and the son of Remaliah. The Lord will certainly bring against them the mighty rushing water of the Euphrates River. So he's saying, you didn't like, you know, the slow flowing water, which is like peace, right? Like a slow right. peace. You didn't like what I gave you. It wasn't enough. You know, you rejected it. Now I'm bringing a mighty rushing water of the Euphrates River. And you're not going to like it. You know, you didn't like what I right. gave you. Okay, I got something for you, but you're not going to like it.
You're not going to like it. So be careful what you ask for sometimes.
Exactly. And not to envy the wicked. You know, a lot of times we think that the wicked, that they're getting away with stuff and that they're doing right. really good. And no, we should always be content with what God gives us.
Right.
It will overflow its channels and spill over all its banks. It will pour into Judah, flood over it and sweep through, reaching up to the neck. So the invasion of Assyria is not only going to be on the northern part of Israel, it was going to spill over into Judah. And it says that the flood would reach them, but only up to their neck. So it would conquer the northern tribes, but not mm-hmm. Judah. For they would suffer because it's going to be up to their necks, but it would not go over right. their heads. And the flooded banks will fill your entire land, Emmanuel. And there he's saying the entire land, Emmanuel, God is with us. Like the land belongs, remember, the land belongs to, right. to Emmanuel, to God. So he's reminding them about that. Band yeah. together, peoples, and be broken. Pay attention, all you distant lands. Prepare for war and be broken. Prepare for war and be broken. Devise a plan, it will fail. Make a prediction, it will not happen, for God is with us. So he's saying to them, you can make all the plans you want. You can prepare all you want. You can do right. whatever you think, you know, try and stop this. It's not going to happen. Like God's will is set and it's coming.
Right.
The Lord of armies, the only refuge. For this is what the Lord said to me with great power to keep me from going the way of this people. Do not call everything a conspiracy. That these people say is a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be terrified. You are to regard only the Lord of armies as holy. Only he should be feared. Only he should be held in awe. So he's telling them, don't, you know, you're going to hear all kinds of stuff. Don't be afraid of that. Be afraid of right. me. So because they're not seeing this as an act of God, right? They're not seeing it as an act of God. They're just seeing it like, you know, war.
Right.
You know, they don't see that it's God controlling all those things. They don't see that it's judgment against them, or that, you know, because of their sins, all this stuff is happening. So they're not seeing it as an act of God. And God is saying, don't believe that, you know, like, don't believe that the one that you should fear is me. I'm in control yeah. here. And that's a lot. I think that reminds me too, how when, you know, when you're going through stuff, you know, and it could be in your marriage, it could be, you know, your health, it can be all kinds of things that you might hear all these things that are going to put fear in you,
right?
But remember that God is in control. So go to him, you know, go to him for, because that's the only place where you're going to find your refuge is there, you know. And he says he will be a sanctuary, and he is the only one that can be our sanctuary. So no matter what you hear, that this is, you know, it could be this, it could be that, or this is going to happen and you better be careful and da da da. No, go to the Lord for the truth, you know.
Right.
Go to
and him. I did see something and I liked it, because it said, you know, we shouldn't fear people, and
right,
you know, because we're safe with God. It's something like that. And I thought, and then what you're saying, it kind of goes together. But I think we forget, you know, living in this world.
Well, like Ahaz in a panic, like, oh my God, they're coming. You know, they're going to take over.
Right.
Da, da, da. And
right.
The same with, you know, like divorce. You better get your lawyer, you know, and oh, he's going to take everything from you. You better do it. And, or with the lawyer, you know, it could be cancer, or, you know, your finances. Doctor, you're going to lose your house, or if you lose your job. And no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know, stop. What better opportunity to return to God, and then remember that he will fight for you.
He's in control. Yeah.
Yep. But for the two houses of Israel, he will be a stone to stumble over and a rock to trip over. So we know here that he's talking about Jesus again, a stone.
Right.
We know that Jesus is the stone, and a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Many will stumble over these. They will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. Bind up the testimony. Seal up the instruction among disciples. I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will wait for him. And, you know, he's saying, okay, there's my testimony. Seal it up and give it to my disciples. Deliver the message. This is a message that I want, you know, given to the people.
You too. And right.
Wait for the Lord doesn't mean wait till he comes for you. No, wait for the Lord means that you're continually seeking him for when he says go, you know?
Right, right.
You have to be ready for when he says go. Here I am with the children the Lord has given me to be signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of armies who dwells on Mount Zion. So Isaiah was with his children. Those were his witnesses. The Mahir Shalah Hashbaz. Remember, his name meant speed to the spoil, hurry to the plunder. And his other son, Shir Jashab, a remnant shall return. So the hope that restoration that God would bring. But when I read, here I am with the children of the Lord has given me to be signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of armies who dwells on Mount Zion, that reminded me of Jesus. Because doesn't Jesus also say, the children that you've given to me, when he's praying for the disciples, Lord, the children that you've given to me, they're all here. All the ones that you've given to me, right? Mm-hmm. So, and here I say, you know, Isaiah is it's like the same thing, but it's Isaiah with his children in the same way that Jesus was with the disciples.
Right.
That they were the witnesses, you know, of this message that God was delivering, that he's coming, you know, that his judgment was coming. And then when they say to you, inquire of the mediums and the spiritists who chirp and mutter, shouldn't a people inquire of their God? So he's saying you're going to be going to medium and spiritists because they talk to the dead. Why are you going to them for? If they speak to the dead, why aren't you going to your God? You know, should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living? Go to God's instruction and testimony. So here it's here plainly. Why are you going to the dead? And that includes, you know, the saints too. Why are you going to the dead for the living? Go to the word. Yeah. Go to the word, go to God's instruction and testimony. If they do not speak according to his word, there will be no dawn for them. So if whatever anybody else is telling you is not aligned with what's in the Bible, with what's in scripture, then they're not in the light. There's no light in them. You know, there will be no dawn for them.
Right.
They will wander through the land dejected and hungry. When they are famished, they will become enraged and looking upward. Will curse their king and their God. They will look toward the earth and see only distress, darkness, and the gloom of affliction, and they will be driven into thick darkness. So for all those that don't go, to his word and to his scripture, then all they're going to be consumed by the darkness. So, and that's how you know who to listen to or who not to listen to. You know, if what they tell you is not aligned with what's in scripture, then you know right. that they're not, there's no light in them. Mm-hmm.
Right. No, yeah, exactly. But that was good.
That was a lot, huh?
It was a lot, but I think it's really good. I think, you know, again, it all falls to, we need to trust God. We need to go to him. You know, and he brings us to our knees for a reason, you know,
because. Right. Because it was the death of Uzziah that I think it brought Isaiah to where he was looking for God, that, you know, that Isaiah was in the right place where God could use him, you know.
Right. Yeah.
That's what brought him to seek God, I think. But I thought, as he was describing the house of Judah, how that's like our own house, you know, our own right. family. And the way he's saying, you know, I'll protect it. And even though we're sinners, you know, and we've made mistakes, he will protect us if we let him, if we go to him.
Right. Well, we have to go to him and we have to let him in. Yeah. In order for him to do that. Yeah. I know one of the prayers that I love to say is, for sure, build the walls around, like rebuild the walls in my house, you know.
Oh, because that's a good one.
And it's just the fact that any little thing, the enemy can knock down a wall and just come in unwelcomed, you know.
Yep. Well, and that people will, you know, that you know, the enemy never stops. So they're never going to stop coming, you know. And do you want to be a house that's strong and ready and close to the Lord with that faith ready? Or do you want to be like Ahaz in a panic, you know, and scared, and then making, you know, wrong decisions because you're not seeking the guidance from God?
So we need to be confident like David and not a scary cat like Ahaz.
Yes, exactly.
Because Ahaz came, he was after David. So see, I mean, he had a good king example.
Yeah, right? Well, and that's what gets me, because this was all after, this is already towards the end of the mm-hmm. kingship, you know,
right?
Because Isaiah is aligned with Chronicles and Kings. So, so this is towards the end of that, when the invasion, you know, Israel has already split, you know, the tribes have mm-hmm. already split. And then right. You have the invasion of Babylon and right. Syria, you know, Syria and all that. So it's already like towards the end, right before the exile.
He comes from Babylon, or is he Assyria? He's Babylon, right?
Babylon. But I think Babylon is Syria. I think Babylon and Syria are the same, because you have.
Okay.
Arab and Syria. Yeah, because some of those, I think they're the same. But it's the Babylon, because remember, Babylon comes and invades, and then Babylon is taken down by Assyria. So.
Yeah. Well, it was a really good one. I think there's a lot there. And just seeing Jesus, we kind of know he's definitely in the Old Testament.
And oh, we've been for sure.
pointing him out throughout, you know, our Bible study. And I think it's important, you know, to definitely read about him in the New Testament, because it all points to who we need to go to and make our relationship with Jesus. You know, he's our savior. And as he says in the Gospels, he came to save the world, not to destroy the world. You know, he came to save as many lives as he could from the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and
destroy.
Yeah.
And you know, and he's, and even though that, you know, he's angry in here, and that he's being firm, you know, he still reaches out his hand, you know.
Yeah. So, but you can only, there's a reason too. I mean, we all get frustrated with our kids, and so for him, just takes him longer to be angry, but he still has that firmness that he needs to do, you know.
Right. And it's for our own good.
For our own good.
And it's because he loves us. So, but I think it's exciting finding Jesus as we read Isaiah, you know, because now we look for him, you know.
Right. And well, you there. Said Right, because you said once we get into Isaiah, like further into it, it's both, right? We're going to see a little bit of the new and we're going to see the old.
Right. Kind of yes, mesh we see together. It come together. Yep.
Right. Yep. Yeah. So that's going to be exciting too. Mm-hmm. Are we ready for our closing scripture?
Yep.
I'll be reading Nehemiah chapter 9. Blessed be the Lord your God from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You, Lord, are the only God. You created the heavens, the highest heavens with all their stars, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to all of them, and all the stars of heaven worship you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.